You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
It is indeed, and this morning we're speaking with Senior Lecturer Shamik Sinha from the Marketing and Business School at the University of Auckland. Morena, Shamik, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Rachel. Yes, I'm nice. It's a nice morning, so it's nice to be in Auckland now.
Yes, it is. It's good, beautiful sunshine coming in today, which is what we like to hear. We're talking a wee bit about your research this morning, which has been into consumer behaviour and how data can create models that show us behavioural tendencies, shopping patterns, psychological traits, all sorts of things about how people spend their money. This is a really interesting area. What kind of data collection methods have you done to come up with this data set?
Thank you, Rachel, for talking to me. So actually, I am basically coming from a data analytics background. So basically, we were looking for predicting behavior of consumers ahead of the actual government forecasts of the data coming out, right? So there are different ways of doing this, of course. Like nowadays, we know there are all these artificial intelligence algorithms which predict behavior. But I was looking at more of a method which can predict behavior without going into the requirements of a big amount of computation, because
right.
as we know, these kind of artificial intelligence algorithms need a lot of computation. So I was thinking about, okay, what are the factors which might drive behavior? And this basically led me to this market research firm based in the US, which collects data from a representative sample of the US population and regarding their planned behavior. So how much they're going to purchase, let's say, in groceries or electronics. Then the survey also has information on some of their psychological traits, like they're feeling happy, they're feeling sad.
Interesting.
It also includes some elements like what they feel about the economy, because as we all know, especially in the post-COVID era, there has been a big amount of change in the way people perceive things, and we have seen, of course, a lot of changes in the employment rates, in the overall perception of how people invest, how people save, and so on. So these are the information which we had available from the survey, and along with that we had some information about what kind of shopping patterns we see among the respondents of the survey. So which channels they go to purchase products, or do they actually research online to purchase products? So this, so we have a very, very rich data set, which had a lot of information. And one additional thing I would like to point out here is, usually when we look at prediction of behavior, we need individual level data, right? So you need information about every consumer or every respondent to predict their behavior. But the most interesting aspect of this data was it was aggregated at, let's say, segment level. So we have different age segments, and we know on average what that segment behaves. Now, this is somewhat unusual, because you would expect that this kind of aggregated survey data would not work for predictions. And this is where the research came in, that can we actually make use of this aggregated survey data in a way which really helps in prediction.
So,
and the good thing is it worked.
This is really interesting. So you have this kind of survey data set, which, as you say, has been aggregated, and it is different from those computational models that people are perhaps used to now. there is something really interesting as well, that this has predated the data sets that you get from the government. So in what ways is this type of information that you've gathered from this actually useful for both, I guess, businesses and people working in the marketing space?
So basically what we usually see, that government data sets are, like, let's say if you think about the consumer expenditure for, let's say, a particular product category like groceries or electronics, are usually available about a month and a half later when the actual behavior happens. So for example, now we are in the third week or about the fourth week of March, right? So the March data for US consumers' behavior in groceries or electronics is going to actually come out at the end of April. So as you can see, there is a lag. Now,
right,
based on the survey which I have, like which this market research company has provided me, I can actually predict the behavior of March, or what, how much this did this consumer spend in groceries or electronics.
So you're not chasing the tail of that data. It's already presented
exactly,
to you.
Right. Exactly. So I can, like, because the survey comes out usually at the middle of the month. So on 15th of March, I can predict the end of the month behavior of consumers, whereas the government doesn't come up with the data till end of April or early May.
And what,
so there is a big lag.
There is a base lag there. So is what is, I guess, useful about this, beyond that, which is a very useful tool, but what is useful about this versus some of the computational models that exist out there? Why does this data make a difference?
Exactly. So basically, if you think about most of the computational models, they, first of all, you need individual level observations. So you need data from every consumer, or at least even if you're not requiring from every consumer, you need at least a sample of consumers, but at the individual level. First of all, here we have aggregated data. So which means that you can avoid running a big model with a lot of data points. Yes, I do have data for almost 20 years. So this data set starts from 2002. And this is what I leverage. Like, if you think about what is the basic fundamental source of this prediction, it's the 20 years or more of the data. But it's aggregated. So if you think about a data set which has, let's say, 10,000 consumers, and you're predicting their behavior, 20 years of data set can be really, really large. You cannot predict them. And then if you think about all these AI-based algorithms, they use matching patterns in the data. They use a lot of complicated algorithms, which might mean that probably you are going to predict behavior. Yes, true.
Yes.
But it will be a lot more time-consuming, first of all. And it will probably also be not really possible to be run by, let's say, me and you.
Yeah.
Because it requires a mainframe computer or a big cloud computing mechanism, which can be done. But the model I predict...
Yeah.
Yes, the model I predict can be probably done in your regular office laptop, because it just uses very minimal computing power.
So it's a completely different scale almost to get a really good result.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally.
Exactly.
So interesting to hear about this research. Thank you so much for speaking with us, Shamik, about this. If people are interested and want to read a bit more, Forbes has published some more on your research, and we will pop a link to that article in the podcast after the show. But thank you so much for your time this morning, Shamik Sena, Senior Lecturer in Marketing and Business School here at the University of Auckland. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks a lot, Rachel. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn, thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.